Mundo, children of all ages, and Walter Cage Radio presents the greatest podcast in the world, the Marketer Samuel Plan, the Devil's Advocate Shinobi, the Lunatic King Maverick, and Single Syllable Mother, the right side of the pond.
And of course, if you're not down with that, we got two words for you!
Sup, Lords of Pain, and welcome to the right side of the pond.
It is Friday, and it is Maverick and Mazza here from the right side of the pond on a pretty momentous week, really, as regards British wrestling viewing generally. Big announcement this week, because over here, while everyone's been getting excited about All Elite Wrestling, we've been wondering what actually might happen in terms of a TV deal, because nothing had been forthcoming. I'm sure there have been negotiations taking place, but nothing had been announced. But they announced on Wednesday that they have in fact partnered with ITV for the Double or Nothing pay-per-view and pre-show. So for overseas viewers, ITV is the second biggest TV channel on British television. It's a commercial broadcaster, but it's free to air TV, essentially, and has been since it first came about in the 50s. So it's a pretty big deal for AEW to have that partnership. So the show itself will be on ITV box office, and the pre-show will be on ITV 4, and it's at the pretty reasonable price point of £15, which was pretty much what WWE pay-per-views were, WrestleMania, and was SummerSlam £30 as well? I think the big four were £30, weren't they, in SummerSlam?
Weren't they? Bloody hell, I think so. Paying £30 for it. I think maybe if you got it all in the high def.
I think the big four were more, if I can recall. It's been so long since the network came along, I almost don't remember. But it was certainly £15 for the, I remember paying £15 for Extreme Rules, Daniel Bryan, the forklift truck and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So £15's pretty reasonable for a pay-per-view show. I think ITV Box Office is a platform which isn't as well known as Sky Box Office, for example. But
I didn't even realise it was a thing, to be honest.
It's pretty much just been for boxing in the past, as far as I'm aware. So they have had some boxing matches which were on ITV Box Office. So It's a pretty big deal. So I'll just read the press release here for people that haven't seen it. So ITV, the largest commercial television network in the UK, announced a partnership today with All Elite Wrestling, the new wrestling promotion headlined by members of the Elite, to broadcast the highly anticipated Double or Nothing event on ITV Box Office Channel. Fans across the UK can look forward to seeing all the drama, action and entertainment live from the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas on the night of Saturday the 25th of May going to Sunday 26th of May. Double or Nothing, which sold out in under 30 minutes, featured an electrifying card packed with stars, including the headline clash between Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho. The rest of it will rock as Cody takes on his brother Dustin Rhodes. The Young Bucks battle the Lucha Brothers of the AAA World Tag Team Championship. Hangman Adam Page clashes with Pac, and Britt Baker, Nyla Rose and Kylie Rae compete in a 3A match. Additionally, for the live pay-per-view event begins at 1 a.m. GMT, Sunday 26th of May. The hour-long live pre-show special Buy-In will air for free on ITV4 at midnight. Buy-In includes the first ever casino battle royale, which will see 21 competitors, including Jimmy Havoc, Billy Gunn, MJF, Michael Nagzawa, Jungle Boy, Glacier, Sonny Kiss, and Joey Janela entering the ring in waves of five wrestlers every 3 minutes, followed by one final entrant, lucky number 21, all fighting out in the ring until there's one winner, who will be a future title shot against the first ever AEW World Champion. Buy-In will also feature a pair of high flyers squaring off one-on-one as the UK's own Kip Sabian will face Sammy Guevara. So then they go on to sort of statements from the ITV Director of Sport and so on. I guess the first thing to say, really, is that unlike WWE, they're giving us something essentially for free to start with in terms of that pre-show, which has a battle royal, which seems pretty fun on it. Sort of, I guess, their own sort of version of a Royal Rumble. So people entering in waves of five every 3 minutes. I mean, that sounds like a pretty cool concept.
Yeah, I heard about that the other day and I thought, yeah, that sounds fun. It's sort of like bordering on the Rumble, but not straight off ripping it off. Their own little twist on it, which is nice, which is what you want to do, really, isn't it? Not like go all out and say, right, we're going to have six sides on our ring, but, you know, here's a concept that works, let's tweak it a little and let's go. You know, yeah, I mean, it's like Sunday Night Heat, isn't it, really? All over again. Yeah, it's obviously a good move for them. You know, it's a lot of people wondering how they were going to watch, and I think it was through the last one was through this Fight Network, which I think is quite expensive and a bit of a pain for us Brits to deal with. So, you know, to have it right there on your TV, even if you're having to pay for it, it's still right there on your TV, which, you know, it's weird. The way we consumed wrestling before, like, 2014, we're so used to having to do that, you know, watching it on all sorts of... watching wrestling for all sorts of... Well, I mean, me in particular, through my 8 years in Mauritius, my word, I had all sorts of ways of watching wrestling. But, you know, since the birth of the network, it's just been so easy right there, you know, on right in front of you on your PlayStation or on your smart TV or whatever it is. So, you know, I've actually got to the point where I used to watch so much wrestling at my computer or my laptop on YouTube or whatever. And now, you know, whenever someone says watch this, I don't even want to on a computer. So, you know, the fact that you can watch it right there on your TV, it is a big thing. You know, there's definitely a hardcore fan base in the UK. So I think they're going to get a fair amount of people at 15 quid a whack. You know, it's not going to do humongous like numbers like they were probably doing back in the day at the peak of wrestling over here. But, you know, they're going to make some money off it. You know, people are going to buy it. And I think that's the important thing, because I think sometimes you worry about these things, they take a punt on it and maybe 100 people end up buying it, and you know, you can see the amount of, you know, hardcore wrestling fans there are in the UK at the moment, the ones that follow the UK promotions. You know, you look at any crowd at NXT UK, you know, a lot of these guys that travel, you know, across to WrestleMania, it's always for the Brits, isn't it? And you know, these are the types of people that are gonna, you know, throw 15 quid at it. You know, I don't think I am just yet, but you know, I'm a big WWE home guy, so you know, they've not shown me anything yet that's made me want to spend 15 quid on them.
I think the main thing I'd say is that they've been very, very clever in how they've gone about this, because not only have they got, you know, a pre-show which is airing for free, which might hook people into doing a last minute, right, I'll order this, I'm enjoying it. So anyone that is, you know, for example, like us, massive WWE homers that is watching it, as a pre-show might go, you know what, I enjoyed that battle royal, I enjoyed those, you know, that pair of high flyers having a match, I'm going to bite the bullet, I'm going to order it right now, and then, yeah, you know, sort of stay up for it. So that's very clever to start with anyway.
I mean, and that's it as well. The type of people they're appealing to at this point, you know, are the type of people that are used to staying up to watch wrestling anyway. So, you know, I don't think, certainly at this point, the timing of it is going to be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the other thing is that it's come out today that if you order it, it unless you've ordered from ITV Box Office before, it won't be one of those ones where you can sort of like watch it any time. Like, you have to watch it live. So, like, I've seen some, like, dissonance on Twitter, because of that, with people complaining to ESPY Boxers saying that that's ridiculous and stuff. But it's a Saturday night. So, you know, you assume that most people...
it's easier than the Sunday.
Yeah, most people aren't going to have work. So I can see lots of, you know, lots of Brits staying up on a Saturday night to watch a bit of wrestling. Now, I definitely am going to watch it. Not only because I'm almost a bit nostalgic for the days of pay-per-view, really. Like, oh my God, yeah, let's the physical thing of ordering a pay-per-view, it kind of feels
you
like...
You can still do it. Yeah, if you want to.
No need to, though. No. But it's quite nostalgic in that sense. But also, like, I like Cody Rhodes. I want to back what he's doing. I think we were talking to Planner in the week. I think it's also important, if you want change in WWE, you've kind of got to back their competitor in a way. I dare say they're going to do well, whatever happens. But as you say, like in the UK, you know, these guys have toured the UK, like these sort of the hardcore of the elite and so on. They've been to the back and forth to the UK a whole bunch of times, you know, especially like the Young Bucks and stuff. So, you can totally see how, I mean, you go to any pub, right? And certainly where I live, if you go to any pub, you'll see somebody in a Bullet Club shirt, or, you know, some sort of like, you know, Young Buck shirt or something. Like, you'd always see at least one like real prominent like indie darling t-shirt, like when you go out and stuff. So it is a built-in market for them. And what the prospect that interests me the most, though, isn't necessarily just this one-off pay-per-view. It's if they end up producing a weekly or two-weekly or monthly TV show, and they stick that on free-to-air TV, if they stick that on ITV4 and then put their pay-per-views on box office, I think they'll gather an audience very quickly. Because if you remember what happened with TNA, TNA was on Challenge over here, which was also like a free view channel. And TNA actually had a pretty loyal UK fan base, disproportionate in size to, like, if you compared like the American viewership of TNA, the British viewership percentage wise would have been like really quite high in comparison. And it was only when TNA just went like really weird that kind of like went off. And I don't think it's on Challenge anymore. But like around its peak was Samoa Joe and Bobby Roode and AJ Styles and everybody, Kurt Angle, you know, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, all the rest of it. It was doing good numbers in the UK. And you can only assume if AEW produce even a half decent weekly TV show and it's on free TV, they'll start gathering an audience beyond their hardcore. I have to think they would.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, that is where I will come in. If I've got a free weekly show, I'll check them out. Absolutely, I'll check them out. You know, I'll check them out, give it a watch, see how good it is, watch a few episodes, get into it. And, you know, if they hook me in, that's when I will, you know, happily throw 15 quid at a pay-per-view if it's something that's hyping me. And like I say, you know, honestly, I probably would if there was anything that really interested me on the card. They're just from an outside perspective who don't really follow these guys, you know of them, seen the odd match for some of them. Obviously some are, you know, your Jerichos and your Dustin Rhodes and your Cody Rhodes are obviously people I've watched a lot of in WWE, but, you know, I'm not jonesing to watch any of those guys again. So, you know, there's nothing there that jumps out at me and says spend 15 quid on this at this point, you know. But that could very, very well change if they do get that weekly spot, and, or, you know, whatever it is. I'm not sure what their actual plan is, if they're, you know, if they're going to run it kind of like NXT style and just do a bunch of tapings and air weekly. You know, there's been more talk of their deal with Turner, I think, that's just come out in the last couple of hours. And I do wonder if that maybe will have an effect on any UK deal. I don't know if there's any, you know, partnerships that they might delve into there, or whether, you know, something's already in place with ITV, or it's, you know, whether ITV have said, you know, okay, if this sells this many, then, you know, we'll give you this. Well, I guess time will tell on that. But, you know, I think they'd be chomping at the bit for it. And like you say, you know, if you give the casual fans and the, you know, the WWE fans who, you know, aren't following other promotions so much, that platform of weekly free TV, you know, it's gonna suck a lot of people in. You know, to be honest, even if it's rubbish, it's still gonna suck people in because it's there on weekly TV, and you know, if that's all you've got, you'll watch it.
Yeah, for sure. You know what? Again, what kind of comes back to me is just this idea that ITV of today created a Twitter account called ITV Wrestling. So that says to me that there seems to be a longer term relationship than just this show. Now, even if, right, they don't do a weekly show for the first year or two that they exist, and they're just doing these monthly pay-per-views with a free pre-show every time, you know, even so, that's still going to build buzz for them. But also, like, in terms of ITV's end, they are clearly, they've wanted some pro wrestling for a while, because they tried to resurrect World of Sport, which was a horrible disaster, at least as far as I was concerned. But they tried, right? So they wanted to put some pro wrestling on TV. And because of the World of Sport thing back in the day, they've got, you know, that kind of background, I guess, yeah, as much background there is in putting that on. So yeah, I don't think the Turner thing would make any difference to the British deal, honestly, because, I mean, I don't think, I can't think of any channels over here that are owned by Warner Brothers off the top of my head. But it's certainly, I mean, massive, I mean, just as an aside, what a massive irony if Ted Turner, like, buys a wrestling show when, you know, he already had one that he wouldn't bankroll anymore in, like, year 2000. But I guess that's a different story. But I think, you know, AEW have been very smart business-wise all the way along. You know, they built the hype gradually. They've done this. Yeah. Is it a YouTube show they've been doing? Like,
Oh, the being the elite is that, well, that's an elite thing that's been going on forever, hasn't it? And they've just kind of gone on from there, I believe.
Yeah, this road from Double or Nothing or whatever they've called it, yeah. And you know, like, even the pay-per-view names, right? If you think about how crap WWE's pay-per-view names are at the moment, you know, we talked about Stomping Ground last week and, you know, and all these gimmick pay-per-views. And straight away, right, you know, what was the first one called? It suddenly escapes me. All In? Yeah, it was All In, wasn't
all
it?
In.
And then yeah. They've got Double or Nothing. And I just think, like, it's the second pay-per-view, so it's Double. And it's in Las Vegas, so they've got a casino theme. And straight away, it's like, right, this is good stuff, you know?
It's like, you know, seeing as Plan's not here today, you know, it's like what WWE did with the In Your House series at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the names fit the pay-per-views. You know, the names fit what was going on, not, right, let's have a pay-per-view named after this gimmick and fit everything around that.
Well, quite. And that's the problem, isn't it? It's like, at the moment, and obviously, like we've said before, right, we are WWE lawyers. We know very little about the indie scene. I think we've both confessed that. You know, we usually jump in on people when they show up on NXT. But obviously you're not like blind and deaf, right? So you're aware of these people. And what certainly seems to be the case to me is that they are allowing a measure of creative freedom to their performers. And they are going about their business in a way which consciously seems to be the anti-WWE. And that's quite clever, because people that are fed up with what WWE been doing and how they've been coasting over the past couple of years are going to see that there's a sort of an older school approach, or, you know, a different way of doing things. The fact that, you know, it is wrestlers that have either, in Cody Rhodes' case, left WWE because they were creatively stifled, or in Kenny Omega's case, turned down a massive check, if anything can be believed. Pac, who obviously was never in WWE, who left because, you know, they told him they had nothing for him, and he was like, well, I'm not just going to, like, stick around the 205 Live doing nothing. So I think, you know, it's maybe premature to be like, oh God, they should be worried, because obviously you know, even if it's just people paying $9.99 to collect the back catalogue, they're going to be absolutely fine, aren't they? But, you know, give it a few years, it may, you know, you may get some genuine competition again. I think that's why people are so excited. And the fact that that's spread from America to here suddenly it's tangible for us. Like, it's not going to be trying to pirate it on some torrent site the next day, which, you know, is probably what people have been faced by doing if they hadn't have cut a deal with somebody. It's going to be, yeah, you can watch it live. You can watch along, you know. You can get involved in that Twitter conversation. I mean, for me, it would be like, obviously, I know the big names. Loads of the people I don't know. All right, I'm interested. You know, show me what you got. You know, and then if it works for me, I'll keep watching it. I think they've just been incredibly clever about how they've gone about it overall.
Yeah, they've done very, very good business, haven't they? You know, they're obviously already making money. They've got a buzz, you know, they've got some popular guys, you know, they've got a core of people that, you know, have built that popularity together and are there, and, you know, they've obviously got friends all over the place, you know, not just in the indie scene, but in the WWE, you know, and that's a big thing. And I think that's where WWE start to, you know, hit the panic button, whereas, you know, suddenly it's a case of these guys who they, you know, do have nothing for at the moment, which is not surprising when you consider the sheer depth of that WWE roster right now, you know. But if they are, if all these rumors are to be believed, you know, they are getting in a panic mode a little bit already over, you know, people and trying to hold them in, you know. I see the word petty getting thrown around a lot, and in a way it is, but, you know, Vince isn't, he can be petty, but he's also protected his business, you know, he's gone to war for his company on numerous times, and, you know, competition almost put him out of business, you know, in recent memory, certainly for people as old as us.
For us, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, so, you know, I mean, it does beg the question, you know, if you think that this guy, let's take Luke Harper as an example, if you do think that he'll be a threat wrestling elsewhere, then, you know, why aren't you using him? But at the same time, you know, it's what they've always done, you know, they did it before AEW were a thing, and, you know, even though they've got that monopoly, it's their way of maintaining the monopoly, and they've, in general, I guess, got these ways that they do things, and they stick to it, and, you know, they're big corporations, so, you know, where does it fall, you know? Could AEW use these types of guys, you know? I'd be a lot more interested, you know, if we were getting, you know, Luke Harper and Dean Ambrose against Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega, rather than a couple of throwbacks to the Attitude Era, which is one of the big issues with a lot of WWE fans at the moment. But, you know, there is a big, you know, Chris Jericho's got a big following, and he's always had a little bit more, you know, goodwill with the fans than other part-timers that come back and show up. And, you know, a lot of people have wanted to see this Dustin versus Cody match on a big stage for a very long time, and WWE never gave it to us.
Well, exactly.
So there'll be people out there that want to see that as well. So, you know, it's smart. They're going to have people coming in at certain points. Do we see Dean? Do you reckon?
I don't think so. I get the impression, I don't know what it is. I didn't think that, you know, that the video vignette thing that he posted, the reports that are out there is that he wants to basically just tour as many indies as possible. And I just get the impression that going to AEW or New Japan would be for him just like going back to WWE, in the sense that he would once again be working for a company with a sort of, you know, with a certain set of boundaries. Even if the creative was looser, he'd still have those boundaries. And I wonder if he just wants to go wherever the hell he wants for a bit, write his own creative, you know, have control of his character, and maybe then down the line he'll have the itch to go to New Japan or AEW. I don't know. I don't think he will at the moment, but that's just instinct, really. But what you were saying earlier on about Luke Harper and about WWE's attitude, you know, like, I think the thing that confuses me is that you read these reports, right, about Vince thinking that Luke Harper's useless because he couldn't do a southern accent 4 years ago and stuff like that, right? And you just think, you know, we became so used in the 2000s to these annual releases around May time, didn't we? Here come the spring cleaning cuts, right? None of these guys are going to make it. We're going to cut them all. And they were usually all these Laurinaitis guys that just didn't amount to anything. And they'd all get cut. But since the sort of NXT thing happened, you know, the last big round of cuts, ironically, was like McIntyre, Jinder, and so on. And then they hired those two back anyway.
Yeah.
A couple of years down the line. So it's like, you know, they've been gathering all these people over and over and over again. You know, they gave Ty Dillinger his release, but they won't give it to Luke Harper because he was injured. And that's where the petty thing comes in. They invoked the injury clause. They give Dean Ambrose this.
And it was the whole about how they went about it as well, apparently. That's all it is. If they publicly announce that they're doing it, then it's that. Like they don't like it, which, you know, that seems more petty than the injury thing. I mean, the injury thing's obviously written in there for some reason or another. I mean, you could get into the whole argument of, hold on, if they're independent contractors, then, you know, should you be able to? But, you know, that's a whole big conversation for another day and people with a bit more legal knowledge than me. But, it's... There's certainly an element of pettiness about it. You know, if you don't think he's any good, you know, if you don't think, if you think he needs to do a southern accent and he can't do a southern accent, then what are you worried about? Let him go and earn some money.
It's bizarre, but obviously we've become used to these bizarre Vince McMahon stories. There's a thread of them which somebody posted on Twitter.
I read that whole thing the other day. It was fantastic.
Just absolutely bizarre stuff, you know, all the way through. I mean, even if you... I mean, also, right, if you read, like... you read Bret Hart's book, you read Ric Flair's book. Like, some of the stuff is just, like... It's just mad. Like, you know, there's a bit in Bret Hart's book where he talks about how they were pissed in a hotel room. I forget whose hotel room it was. They trashed this hotel room and Vince was drinking with all the wrestlers. And he was more drunk than everybody else. And him and the Anvil did their finisher on Vince, like, legit. This, like, drunken party. And we're worried they'd get fired if Vince didn't even remember it. So they actually did a heart attack on Vince in this, like, hotel room. So yeah, it's that's pretty odd. But I mean, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Right? You look at so it's like they supposedly offered the revival like a, you know, like a massive amount of money to just, you know, basically just to kind of sweeten the deal for them. But then they've not signed their deal, so they get this like shaving backs thing that they put on TV.
And apparently Wilder is on the hook for a similar deal to Harper as well, by all accounts.
And you know, like you kind of look at the kind of people they're desperately trying to hold on to. Like, where does it end, right? You pay Dana Brooke a load of money not to go to AEW. You know, it's paranoid. It's paranoid to the point of stupidity because, you know, you can't own every pro wrestler on the planet. And I remember when NXT UK kicked off, right? Some people over here were concerned that it would, you know, stomp out the local indie scene. And of course it hasn't. It's just given those wrestlers something to aim for. But you can see where the paranoia comes from because they do end up holding wrestlers and not doing much with them. It's a bit like, you know, you look at Bobby Roode, who was the top guy in TNA, or AJ Styles, who was the top guy in TNA. And, you know, obviously AJ Styles has been the one that they've really backed and got behind. But you look at Bobby Roode, look at Nakamura, you know, have they done everything to some of those guys, or would those guys actually been better off staying where they were? It's, and you know, like you think about something like Kushida, who they've just signed, like, you know, where does it end? And me and Plan have talked a lot on this show about NXT, and is it developmental anymore? Probably not. So they need a different model. They just need to literally have brand splits, which are almost separate universes that have nothing to do with each other. Because obviously, you know, this whole brand split thing, wildcard thing, relationship between the between NXT and the main roster, because you've got Gargano and Ciampa randomly showing up, and Black and Ricochet getting soft promoted. All that type of stuff. You know, Lars Sullivan is on every TV she's going, but now has posted racist stuff in a bodybuilder's forum, so who knows what happens to him now.
As you do.
It's just
by Randall.
It's just such a bizarre state of affairs. And actually, yeah, you can see how, like you said with Jericho, his T-shirt when he turned up at All In was Judas, because he'd always promised Vince he'd never work for another American promotion. But and then, like I say, Jericho's got more credit with fans than almost any other part-timer, because he's always reinvented himself. Apart from like that crap bit around 2012 when he was just, you know, running around in his sparkly pants just being Chris Jericho, he's always tried to do something different when he's come back. And I think that's why he's such a good get for AEW, because Jericho is also one of the most creative minds ever in the business. You know, he came up with the Money in the Bank ladder match, supposedly. He's done all this stuff. So, you know, as someone whose brains you can pick for Cody and those boys, there's no one better. You know, Billy Gunn is a shrewd hire, because, again, he's been around the world. He's been there. He's done it. He's a brilliant guy to be your William Regal of your promotion or whatever, right? And they've got who is it? They've got the old ECW guy as well, have they not, as a coach? Jerry Lynn.
Jerry Lynn they've just brought in as well. Yeah. So, again, yeah, someone that's got a lot of respect in the business. And, you know, obviously there are these guys out there, and, you know, WWE get rid of people, you know, like for no reason whatsoever a lot of the time. And, you know, I think Malenko they've just released, and Arn Anderson they just released, haven't they? And they've been part of that agent team for a long time. But, you know, at what point it's that whole idea, you know, these are young guys, you know, who have come up, Cody, through the WWE and has seen it, and, you know, pretty much grown up in that company and seen it inside out. And, you know, you've got the Bucks that have, you know, travelled the world, you know, pretty much been everywhere. Then you've got Omega, who's come up, you know, big time in Japan. So you've got guys that have seen everything. Like, they can attack it from every angle. You know, they've got some money behind them. Is that what they want? You know, they'll have their ideas, you know. Going after, you know, old WWE agents, probably not necessarily a good thing, you know. You do worry that maybe you might end up, particularly with Cody in there, that he might fairly owes this one or owes that one, you know. But
having said that, you know,
it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see. But like I say, what you want more of is them to be going the NXT route, you know, rather than the WWE main roster route, or trying to do what TNA did and biting them on the arse, you know, try to do what TNA did originally rather than, you know, what TNA eventually became. You know,
yeah.
get the homegrowns, take the hottest indie stars, you know, the ones that, you know, you can nab that NXT aren't nabbing. You know, that's where I think initially where their biggest competition will be is NXT, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the one brand where, you know, WWE still get love. So, you know, and like I said, why I don't think WWE need to worry in the short term, you know, I absolutely agree with you. In the long term, it could be. But in the short term, they don't, because, you know, WWE's $9.99 that they're getting for you, you know, they're getting the same $9.99 whether you're paying it because you've heard Goldberg's coming back in Saudi Arabia from the people who are the diehards who just want to watch NXT every week.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is what we were discussing with Plan in our group chat was, actually, if you are a top indie guy that has yet to sign with NXT, and NXT throw that contract at you, having seen what's happened to a lot of people that have been through that system, is that what you want? Or are AEW, with their guaranteed healthcare and their, you know, more creative freedom, actually offering you something that's better? And also, as you mentioned earlier on, the fact that Tony Khan is backing them, you know, somebody whose father is worth, you know, is worth like enough money that he wanted to buy Wembley Stadium. You kind of get the impression that WWE aren't just going to be able to kind of like outbid people anymore. And actually, there will be a genuine choice for top indie stars of going to AEW or going to WWE. I'm not too worried about them hiring ex-WWE staff, because the ones they seem to be picking up are the ones who have old school ideas or didn't fit in with the way that things were done. You know, like, you can well imagine, you know, like, because who knows how to put a match together better than Dean Malenko or Arn Anderson? You know what I mean? They were kind of like everybody else in that company, limited by the obsessive and bizarre way that WWE TV is kind of produced.
Absolutely, you know, and that's what, you know, you might see. But yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, what would you want? It depends what you consider as success, you know. And obviously it comes down to money, you know. That's a big part in it. But, you know, I'd say a lot of these guys, you know, even if they're signed to... Take these guys that have a good run in NXT and then go up to the main roster and it all falls apart, you know. Revival's worth right now. Yeah, I'll take the Revival because that's one we've touched on. You know, they've done absolutely nothing on the main roster. It's been absolutely pointless. If they get their release tomorrow or they don't sign their contracts and they're out, you know, over the next 6 months, you know, the money that they'll be able to pull in on that scene is yeah, you know, nuts. They've done some good Twitter promotion, you know. They've got this built-in thing with the Young Bucks, which, you know, they've played it up really well on Twitter. And, you know, that is a huge match that a lot of people want to see. You know, if that match was booked for Double or Nothing, my 50 quid would already be spent. You know, I'd have signed up for it already. You know, and I hate the Bucks, but that would be a fantastic match, an absolutely fantastic match. And it'd be given the time it deserves and, you know, everything it deserves, which they've just not got on the main roster. Which is what they did get in NXT, which they took in NXT, you know. They got what they deserved in NXT, and they proved how good they are, that they've not been given a chance on the main roster, and that is the same for so many people. But, you know, that NXT run has helped a lot of these people and has made them bigger stars, you know. So there's that as well, you know, having that NXT run just alone, even if you totally bypass the main roster, or, you know, you go up, you give it a shot. If it doesn't work, you know, you're out of there. How many people do that? You know, Neville is another one, you know, and that's exactly what he's doing. And again, that's someone that I'm very interested to see.
I mean, the other thing that, you know, that we kind of forget is that, you know, tag team wrestling in WWE is something which is so sort of on the main roster is so poorly supported by the powers that be. And, you know, if AEW wants to build like a big tag division, then yeah, there's no better get for them than the Revival, you know. Or, you know, I mean, even if you take, let's say, you take a Chad Gable who's just floating around doing nothing, and you stick him with a partner in, you know, in AEW, then that's somebody I think which would be great.
Absolutely. You know, if they stuck with Gable and Rude, you know, nobody remembered American Alpha. If they were given the same platform that American Alpha had, they worked really well together. They could have been a fantastic team.
So I think, you know, WWE, I guess the other thing is to say is WWE are going to start to, when they offer a contract, they're going to offer much longer contracts. You know, there won't be any 2-year contracts talking about. They're going to want to lock people in. And yeah, it's fascinating, you know, and as you said earlier on, a lot of the way that Vince works is informed by what was happening in 95, 96, 97, you know, all that kind of, all that stuff with the curtain call and with Hall and Nash showing up unannounced on Nitro and all that stuff, right? It's, you can see how he's like, oh, I thought, you know, because really what Vince did in the 90s was actually the right thing. I know Plant will certainly argue this, because what he did was he got rid of all the dead weight from, you know, from the rock and wrestling era, and he pushed his new stars. But WCW were like, all right, we'll take them all. It gave them a bit of a kind of name bump. And then when they took someone that was current, like a Hall or a Nash, then suddenly it made them a really big deal, you know, in a way that maybe they hadn't been a genuine competitor before that. So I think that's what they're wary of, isn't it? Like, obviously Ambrose, they couldn't help because he was right at the end of his contract, so they couldn't really do much about it. But let's say, you know, they took, you know, he still had time on his contracts, and he just walked and he went to, you know, and he went to AEW. Yeah, that's a big problem. So you can see what they are trying to do.
But I mean, the very fact that AEW is now an option, you know, it's people will be less inclined to say, okay, now I'm, you know, whereas before, Vince offering you a 5-year deal, you take it.
Yeah.
I think people will be more like, well, I'll sign a 2-year deal and see how it goes, you know, and Vince can play hardball with them. But if they've got, you know, if they've got AEW discussing as well, you know, what's Vince going to do? You know, if you're in a bidding war with someone, you know, it's hard to say, isn't it? It's hard to say. You know, you'd think maybe WWE wouldn't get drawn into that, but, you know, they may well have to before too long. I think they'd be foolish to do so just yet at that lower level of people coming in. But like you say, the questions become is when you get your Ambroses and your higher ups in the WWE that are guys that might actually go and will go there with some real name brand recognition, you know, for today anyway, and go, you know. And the problem is, the more you push Goldberg and bloody Brock Lesnar, the more these people are going to be disgruntled and be like, well, hold on a minute, I should be featured more, and this company will do that for me.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the thing, isn't it? Like, you imagine if AEW was around, let's say about 2014-ish, right? And you're Dolph Ziggler, and you kind of keep hitting your head against this glass ceiling over and over again. And then, you know, because you think that all the times when Ziggler's re-signed, what he really shouldn't have done, when he should have just gone and taken his chance on the indies like Cody did. If that second big company that, because obviously TNA had started to die a death by this point, right? So, you know, Christian, obviously in like 05, 06, went off and did the TNA thing and did very well out of it, Angle as well. But by the time when the Zigglers and the Morrisons were getting fed up, there wasn't that sort of option anymore, or at least not a serious option. So AEW presents that, doesn't it? And it's going to be very interesting to see how many wrestlers do try and get out their contracts. I mean, there's been talk about Sasha Banks as well. And all this sort of... and all this paranoia reflects so badly on WWE that you almost think like it makes the fans want to sympathise with AEW. Because even if you are the biggest WWE homer ever and you see WWE acting like a knob towards, you know, towards wrestlers that you admire, you're going to be like, oh, you know, why the hell should I support this capitalist monolith that tries to keep its workers in slavery? Like, when I can back this company that's got a feel-good, you know, story behind it.
And they're going to end up there anyway in the end, and that's where you can see them. You know, you're just, you know, I guess so. You know, WWE are trying to hold them hold on to their guys for so long, and yeah, it's hard to say. But you know, like I say, with Harper's the big example. It's you're not doing it. You're not going to do anything with him. It don't look like it, you know. And if you know the whole reason for Harper asking release, this whole rumor's true, you know, who can blame him? And like you say, why would you keep him? You know, what's your reasoning? That really is petty. It's just because we can. And you know, whereas with the Revival, the Revival always been that type of team that you think, you know, they'll get to a point, they will start to use them. You know, and I think when you look at the Revival, they came in with a bit of a bang. They had them go over the New Day, and then they had, you know, those couple of injuries early on that I think didn't help at all. But since then, you know, they've had the chance to do something and they haven't. They fed them to DX at that special, what was it, the Raw 1 million or whatever it was.
Yeah, might as well. And,
you know, it's they every time they've looked like they're about to do something, you know, and I think that's the key right now. Right now, we're on the verge of, well, we're in the middle of an Usos versus Revival feud, and everyone's just like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, this, you know, arguably the two best tag teams on the planet, and this is what you're doing with them, you know. Whereas, you know, if they walked out and they start building to that match with the Bucks, you know, everyone will be, you know, all in. And, you know, it'll have people. It'll be what they want to do. And I just can't understand why sometimes WWE don't see that, you know, and why Vince doesn't see that. And even if Vince doesn't see that as himself, why he doesn't just let it happen elsewhere, or, you know, not AEW, so to speak. Let, you know, Triple H do something with it, you know. Let him borrow them on NXT and do it there, and you don't have to see it, or do it as its own network special or something like that, you know, because you've got the ability to do that whenever you want these days, you know. So that I think that's what really bugs me. It's that it's the chucking away of good things when you've got a platform to do whatever you want. And if Vince doesn't want it on his Raw or on his pay-per-views, then, you know, do it on the network. And let Triple H take care of stuff, you know. Fucking create something else, you know, an extension of NXT for these guys.
But it's never been more apparent, has it, that essentially WWE is not about wrestling. Like, the wrestling is completely secondary to whatever terrible soap opera storylines are being pumped out.
Which, you know, wouldn't be bad if they were actually delivering good bloody storylines, you know.
And, you know, everyone always bags on Russo, but I tell you what, I will take any Attitude Era Raw, anyone, even the very worst 1999 episode of Raw, I will take a million times over what you get now. Because
absolutely, you know, and that's where this whole, you know, the idea that the wrestling wasn't very good in the Attitude Era, which a lot of people have, it's because of that reason that, you know, it's like it is now. It's that the wrestling was kind of secondary then as well, you know. But the storylines, the difference is the storylines were good then, you know. They were consistent. You had crap in there, you know. you had some rubbish in there. You had some filler in there. But there was a consistency of stuff. And it just kept coming and coming and coming, you know. And people were hot for it, you know.
That's the thing. You know, what they've created really is a climate of apathy. Where it's like, this TV show doesn't matter because you always watch it and you're going to watch it anyway. And then viewers go under a certain point, if I put my Tito hat on a moment. Like, so viewers go under a certain point, and then they kind of, you know, panic, and they'll go, oh, well, like, welcome to the new era. We're going to do what you want, but only for 2 weeks before you just go back to what we do anyway. And they think people are stupid. I swear they do. Because it's like,
I don't even think they do. I think they've just not got a clue what they're doing. And that week, that seemed like a good idea. You know, whereas the next week something else seemed like a good idea, and they're constantly scrambling to do this when, you know, And they're just digging themselves deeper and deeper and deeper in it, you know. Write something consistent and follow through on it, and you'll be good. But no, they do this, and they're like, right, well, you know, it's that whole thing, you know. WWE, the very nature of the business, they have to do things on the fly sometimes and change things on the fly, and they've got to feel out the audience and have a finger on the pulse of what the fans want. And, you know, it's, they got there with Becky, you know, but by the time they dragged it out to Mania, it had, like, gone on too long, and now we're just stuck in this endless loop of Becky and Charlotte that's actually gone on longer than bloody Sasha and Charlotte at this point. And, you know, they totally nailed it with Kofi, and that's the first time in a long time they've actually on the fly change things to follow through on what the fans wanted. But, you know, would they have done that if it was on Raw and Brock Lesnar was involved, or, you know, one of Vince's big guys, main guys, was involved? Not sure.
Well, also, what have they done with Kofi afterwards? You know, what have they done with Kofi since he won that belt? It's gonna be right. This is Benoit and Guerrero all over again. You know, like, he's won the belt at WrestleMania. Kevin Owens is going to take it off him at the pay-per-view. I could almost, like, guarantee it. Or if he doesn't, Kofi will look like a chump in some way. Because they, with those Cinderella champions, they can't sustain it beyond, you know, beyond the point that they win the belt.
I do understand that as well, you know. Those Cinderella champions, it's all about the story to get there. And, you know, that's the story. Now it's, you know, like I said in my column last week, you know, I wouldn't trade, you know, Christian's time in the in the World Heavyweight Championship scene in 2011. You know, I wouldn't change that for any dominant run or anything else. And, you know, you could be pretty sure it would have happened to Brian had he not got injured in 2014 as well. You know, the journey was there, but yeah, it's, they've not got a clue right now, really, what they're doing. And he's, you know, he's achieved what he set out to achieve, so he's no longer got that edge, you know, of what made people jump on it, you know. And now he's just like WWE champion, but he's still like New Day Kofi, and it's all fun and games. But yeah, who knows, you know what, I don't really know how you write yourself out of that. That's where you have just Triple H come back in and win it back again a million times.
Well, yeah, maybe. It's just an example though of you know, of how, you know, one thing I think has really benefited AEW is the fact they don't have a TV show at the moment, right? They've got this YouTube channel, but they're keeping people hyped for it without this constant 3 hours of TV, 3 hours of TV, 3 hours of TV, and none of it matters. And, you know, they've got one focus, which is building to a pay-per-view, which they've announced quite a long time ago. And, you know, and they are just so focused on getting there, building some stories, you know, like stuff like, you know, Cody shows up at some random indie show and Jericho shows up as well and tries to beat him up, but then gets beaten up. And, like, you know, it's creative stuff. And I remember when Punk went off with the WWE Championship, people were all like excited that he'd go around all these indie feds and defend the WWE Championship and stuff. They should have totally done that.
Yeah. Like, shit the bed there, absolutely.
But yeah, it's just an example, isn't it, of how a company starting fresh hasn't got all of these albatrosses around their necks like WWE do. You know, they've got so into the, this is the WWE way of doing things and all this sort of stuff. And even, like, I think Plan pointed out on Twitter the other day, like, this insistence that it's a championship or a title, it's not a belt. And then suddenly, because they start selling them, they start selling custom versions of the website, suddenly it's okay to call it a belt again. it's just crazy when you think about it. But yeah. So any more thoughts about the AEW thing, Maz, before we get out of here?
No, I'm just looking forward to it. Like I say, I really hope they do get, you know, they get their regular TV on ITV, and, you know, that's something that can go forward, because I will definitely be tuning in for that should that happen.
Absolutely.
And good luck to them. Let them go out there. Let them get some big names and get some buzz. And hopefully they have a good event. And, you know, hopefully they throw in a couple of really good surprises that, you know, ups the interest level as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wish them all luck in the world. I think they're going to have quite a lot of take. I'd be very interesting to see what the final pay-per-view buys are for that show and to see if they go up over time as well. So, I will certainly be tuning in. In fact, I believe I'm on holiday. So actually, it's on a weekend. But also, I don't have the Monday at work. So even better, really. I can sort of, you know, have a late night on Saturday and then see my day Sunday, but then still have leisure time on Monday too. So that's going to be good.
You can finish your weekend champs because the servers have been down all week.
Absolutely, get on the all day champs. I think it's going to be a really interesting time for wrestling. And the best case scenario is, of course, WWE start to adapt based on the fact that people are sort of tuning into this competitor and it forces them to see what their flaws are. So, you know, we can but dream, really. So, all right, a bit of a UK-centric Pond episode today, but obviously I know lots of you in the States are looking forward to AEW and what they have to offer. So this is just our perspective as two lifelong WWE guys that don't watch much outside of WWE. If they can catch our interest, they can catch anybody's interest. So, I mean, you know, do listen to Imp's show on a Thursday because, of course, he's a British wrestling fan that's way more plugged into all this stuff than we are. And, you know, him being a generation back from us age-wise means that he's actually grown up with WWE being a bit crap. So he's had to discover the indie scene, whereas we never really had to. That's our take on AEW to ITV. If you have any comments about that, do feel free to drop us a tweet or whatever, and we'll have a discussion there. Maybe I'll follow up with a comment at some point, who knows. From the Right Side of the Pond, that's going to be it for this week. Do listen to everyone else's show. So Doc's on a Sunday, Zanman on a Monday. Of course, they regularly talk about AEW and stuff on their show. Tuesday will be One Nation Radio. I'm sure Rich will be touching on that too. And Global Impact, of course, they're always going to talk about that kind of stuff. So it's going to be, well, I guess there's going to be lots of buzz about AEW and all of our shows at the moment. Wednesday plan, actually, there's been so much on plan to show, maybe. Thursday will be and Friday, you'll be back with us in the Right Side of the Pond. So we'll preview Money in the Bank next week and see who we think is going to win. Just as an amusing aside, kids at my school ran up to me today and said, Randy Orton is winning the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. And I was like,
oh, God, no.
And I was like, no.
Did you RKO him out of nowhere? That's what he was asking for.
I was like, you know, it's actually a girl. And her favourite wrestler.
RKO.
Her favourite wrestler in the world is Randy Orton. I was like, you know, it's bizarre to me that a 14-year-old girl can have Randy Orton as their favourite wrestler. But nevertheless, that seems to be the case. And I said, look, it's not 2013. I can't have Randy Orton winning a ladder match. My God. Anyway, that's just an amusing aside before we leave. So, from the Right Side of the Pond, we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.
Bye.